It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 982. Coming up at 4:30 today, we dive into the football for the first time. We will be joined by our pal Dan Pizzuta, as we typically are on Thursdays at 4:30. And then coming up at 5 o'clock today, a pretty appropriate week for us to have our newest Odyssey Sports NFL insider, Patrick Peterson, the former Cardinals legendary cornerback, is going to join us. He's not joining us like some of you in the YouTube comments seem to want him to, which is that he's joining the Commanders. No. He's going to talk about them and their matchup against his former team. He is our newest Odyssey Sports NFL insider, so we're going to talk to Pat P coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to start the show on a bit of a serious note, though, today, because one of the biggest stories in sports is what really has been happening all season in the WNBA in regards to Caitlin Clark, but took another turn last night. And the league finally said something about it. I'm not even going to say to their credit, because this is something that happened far too late. There was an incident last night in the Game 2 win for the Connecticut Sun that ended Caitlin Clark's rookie season as the Fever succumbed to a veteran Sun team that just played an incredible two games of disciplined, tough basketball. They were fantastic defensively, and I wish we could talk about that. I wish we could talk about the ways that I would like to see Indiana mature as a basketball team for all the new fans that Caitlin Clark has brought, and for not just to the league but to that team. Like, there's an audience for that of like, hey, how does Caitlin Clark get better? Even for, especially I would say, for new WNBA fans that maybe came into this year thinking like, oh, is she going to be the best player in the league? And like, she finished top five in MVP voting because she deserved to. She was incredible. I thought she was going to be really good, and she exceeded my expectations. But you see some of the immaturity for her in terms of, okay, this is her first bout at playoff basketball, and because it's a three-game series and it's only two games, like, she doesn't get to grow in the way that often players grow in series that are especially young and in their first one. But you see the immaturity of her coach, who's a first-year coach, the immaturity of the rest of her team, just because they haven't been there before. And I don't mean, like, human immaturity. I mean basketball immaturity. And that's a fun, interesting sports conversation with a lot of teeth. And with a lot of angles. But we don't get to talk about that. Why? Because some jackwagon in Connecticut last night, whether they were from Connecticut or an Indiana fan or whoever they were from, said some pretty terrible stuff to one of the Sun players. And that continues a long trend of fans in the WNBA, and specifically new fans, specifically, I don't want to say fans of Caitlin Clark, and I don't even want to call these people fans. What it really is people using Caitlin and the league as an excuse to express vile thoughts they have about other people. And this is a league where it is predominantly black and there is a heavy queer population. And all of a sudden you have a white, straight, dominant player. And that's not on Caitlin, but it becomes on Caitlin in a way that I think is terrible for her, and I'll talk about in a second. Not to say it's her fault, but there is a consideration for her that I don't know that people have fully thought through. But there are people that, and this should not be breaking news, this should not be taboo to say this, there are people out there that do not like various minority groups for whatever the reasons, and they look for avenues where they can fight their culture wars. And unfortunately, the WNBA became that this season. Time and time again, example after example of often things that didn't really catch the national radar. Occasionally they did, but it would blow up in comment section after a hard foul on Clark, which happens when you have the ball in the hands as much as she does. And it's just absurd. And the reality is that the league didn't do basically a damn thing about it until today, when after Clark's season is over, they issue this mealy-mouthed statement. The WNBA is a competitive league with some of the most elite athletes in the world. While we welcome a growing fan base, the WNBA will not tolerate racist, derogatory, or threatening comments made about players, teams, and anyone affiliated with the league. League security is actively monitoring threat-related activity and will work directly with teams and arenas to take appropriate measures, to include involving law enforcement as necessary. And, like, good. But where the hell was this statement in June, in May, when this stuff started happening? And where are the stories of fans being shut down and arrested or kicked out of arenas and banned from earlier in the year when these things would happen. Where is that? Why is it now that in reality, it's very unlikely to happen, is certainly with the frequency it has, but it's unlikely to happen in these next two series because so many of the people that are doing this stuff are hiding behind Caitlin Clark. And what they're actually doing is putting Caitlin in harm's way. And that's the thing. They don't actually care about any of the people involved other than them getting, like, other than themselves, right? They get to spew their nonsense. They get to spew their vile. And what it does is if you're Caitlin and you're a hyper-competitive person and it's part of what makes you great, that edge, and it's part of the reason that people like her. It's part of the reason that she is as popular as she is. Yes, the step back threes. Yes, the skill. Yes, the passing, which is absurd. Like all that stuff, the record-breaking performances is great, but it also comes in this hyper-competitive package that we love in our athletes. But if she's going to talk trash, for instance, last night to Deawanna Bonner after they get mixed up, and I had no problem with it. In fact, I probably had a bigger problem with Bonner telling Caitlin to stop chirping at the ref because, one, the play they were talking about, she definitely fouled Clark, and it happens. Like, fine, it wasn't intentional. She closed out, and Clark got hit. And Bonner then told Caitlin, it looked like anyway, I couldn't see what they were saying, obviously, like, hey, quit chirping at the ref. And Caitlin was like, don't tell me what to do. Fine. That happens. We see that all the time in the NBA. We see it in the W. We see it in the NFL. We see it, you know, the quarterback begging the referee for a roughing call and the defensive lineman being like, dude, shut up. Right? It's not a female thing. It's not a woman thing. It's not a WNBA specific thing. It's a sports thing. But now, if you're Caitlin and you're in that moment, you're in the heat of the battle and you're just being you, competitor, and you have any second thought about being that person because you're like, wait, if I chirp back, is this other player, my colleague who I respect, who I might be talking trash with right now, but I have respect for, which is something Caitlin has consistently said when she's been asked about these things, is that person going to get death threats? And you might say, that seems extreme. What are you talking about? It's happening. It's been happening. And I guarantee you, if you were to search Deawanna Bonner's replies or have access to her DMs on Instagram or wherever else she's accessible to the public, that right now she's got death threats because of a regular sporting action, trash talk in a basketball game. And if that's not a sign that we're doing something wrong, like I don't know what to tell you. Because I realize that these conversations are charged with all kinds of emotion and they're conversations at the core of identity and politics and race and gender and all these things that people care a lot about. But I really honestly would challenge you to find anything that I've said in the last 8 minutes of talking about this that's remotely controversial. Hey, we shouldn't hate other people based off their identity. Most people would agree with that foundational statement. Right. And if that's the case, why are we saying things in regards to those things towards other players? Why is that entering, you know, the fan player interaction beyond any normal trash talk, some of which is inhumane anyway? But I guess to an extent it's part of sports. But why are these the things you're choosing to point out? And why is it people hiding behind Caitlin Clark consistently that are doing them? That's what I want to know. And I would challenge you to answer those questions without some sort of ism in there. And it's different. This is not something that is, oh, this stuff has always been happening. No, it hasn't. Here's Alyssa Thomas, Connecticut Sun guard forward who just baller. She was a member of the U.S. Olympic team. She's been in the league a long time. She's been in the MVP conversation for most of her career. She's one of the best players in the league. And this was her last night after a series win in which she returns her team to the conference to the league semifinals.
Honestly, it's been a lot of nonsense. I think in my 11-year career, I've never experienced the racial comments from the Indiana Fever fan base. You know, we had her face on a serious matter that happened in this world, and it's unacceptable, honestly. And there's no place for it. And we've been professional throughout the whole entire thing, but I've never been called the things that I've been called on social media, and there's no place for it. and you know, basketball is headed in a great direction, but we don't want fans that are going to degrade us and call us racial names. I mean, we already see what's happening in the world and what we have to deal with in that aspect. And, you know, we come to play basketball for our job and it's fun, but we don't want to go to work every day and have social media blown up over things like that. It's uncalled for, and something needs to be done, whether it's, you know, them checking their fans or this league checking. There's no time for it anymore.
Because the thing is, the most important thing Alyssa says there is, like, these aren't actually fans, right? This is not – calling them fans is giving them too much credit. That means you actually like the thing. You don't. It's a vehicle for you to hate. And it's as simple as that. These are not fans. And so the retort of, well, don't they want the fans? Don't they want to make the money? One, women's sports are not charity. It's a business. It's sports. If you like it, spend your money there. If you don't, then leave it alone. You don't have to go. If you don't like hamburgers, don't go to the burger joint. It's fine. No one's going to judge you. If you make it your entire personality, well, then you're telling on yourself. But if you just quietly stay to the things you like, fine. I'm not a huge baseball guy. I don't spend a ton of time trashing Major League Baseball because people love it. Going to a game is fun. Fine. Like, it's not about all the other stuff until the people that are claiming, oh, it has nothing to do with any of the isms, make it about that stuff. And they just consistently tell on themselves in that way. So none of this should be controversial. It just shouldn't. People should be safe going to work. That includes professional athletes. Shouldn't use any of the isms when you're shouting it at the opposing team. And in order to be a fan and in order to be a part of the growth of the league, you actually should like it. It shouldn't be a vehicle for the other stuff. And it does no favors to the player that you claim to love and be a super fan of, and Caitlin Clark, who now, as she is competing against someone, am I about to give this person a couple weeks of, or perhaps longer, of death threats? And is there guarding her like, crap, if I swing and try to block her shot and miss, am I going to get death threats? That's not what sports are about. And so I hope we can get to a point. And maybe the long winter break and a return to the W season next year, as opposed to Caitlin having been in the spotlight for the better part of 3 years now, or two plus years since the LSU Final Four the first time around, when LSU won. Maybe the break will be the thing that finally settles this down. But Lord, I hope that when she picks up a basketball again in the public eye next April, that this nonsense is left in the past, because this is just completely unsustainable for her, for the league, and for the rest of the players in it. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, quick bit of NBA media news today that caught my eye, and then the rest of the show, we are all in on the NFL, starting with our pal Dan Pizzuto looking back at Monday Night Football and ahead to the Commanders game against the Cardinals at 4:30.